5 minutes later, Dee stepped out of a darkened airlock and onto the starlit sands of Clatooine. His garments, though not a match for those most prevalent in the encampment, were in similar colors and were as voluminous as the desert robes to be seen there. He trotted the 2 clicks to the top of the ridge, slowing down and becoming more cautious the last half kilometer. But although his sensor scan had shown some guards stationed along the ridge approaches, he had chosen a spot that had no reasonable path of descent to the camp and consequently had no guards. Careful in case his portion of the ridge was in danger of collapsing, he moved as close as he dared to the edge of the ridge itself, then went prone and set up his macro binoculars. They were larger than an ordinary set, had a tripod for stability, had a massive amount of storage memory so that they could record what they saw. It took him only a few moments to find the Hapen landing craft and zoom in on its surroundings. If there had been a party there to meet it, the party was already aboard or dispersed. Now he could see only guards, more than half of them female, all of them unusually attractive, stationed around the craft. At the nearest verge of tents, there stood observers who, from their gestures and movements, were clearly discussing the Hapen craft or its inhabitants. Most were Clatooinian or human. There were a fair number of other species and several droids. The camp was active. There were fires lit, apparently to cook evening meals and provide comfort from the sudden chill of desert nights. Dee's chrono, adjusted to this planet's cycle, indicated it was early evening. Time passed. Dee remained patient. There was a beauty to surveillance, to remaining perfectly still while the satellites of one's prey orbited, departed, returned, and offered clues to the prey's weaknesses. Dee wished he could persuade his subordinates and family of the elegance and usefulness of patience, but they all seemed so desperate for change and immediate gratification. Groups of onlookers in the vicinity of the landing craft wandered off, finding cook fires or tent interiors. All but one group, which remained in place, seemingly as patient and watchful as Dee himself. He trained his macro binoculars on them and zoomed in for maximum gain. 5 humans, or humanoids, 2 droids. 4 of the humanoids were the size of adult humans, 1 much smaller. The droids were recognizably a dome-topped astromech and a protocol droid. All the humanoids wore the desert clothing sported by most in the camp. The adults were armed for engagement, high-end blaster rifles, and the suggestion, under their robes, of armor, holsters, and pouches. The smallest humanoid had some sort of animal sitting at its side. At this range, Dee couldn't make out its features or even determine whether it was male or female, but he believed, from its movements and occasional restlessness, that it was a child rather than an adult member of a small species. Now a group of perhaps a dozen individuals descended the landing craft's boarding ramp, talking among themselves. They moved off into the camp. And still, the group of 5 humanoids and 2 droids waited. Interested, Dee continued to watch them. Another 15 minutes passed. Then, as if a signal had been received over a comlink, they started forward, heading straight toward the boarding ramp. None of the guards arrayed around the landing craft moved to stop them. The 4 adult members of the party separated, moving around the craft to take up positions spaced equally around it, while the child and the 2 droids ascended the ramp. Interesting. Interesting.